Cheapest of sinners, Jesus can save. As he has promised, so will he do. O sinner, hear him, trust in his word. Then he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming, all will be there, who have rejected, who have refused. O sinner, hasten, let Jesus in, then God will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love. Jesus hath power, Jesus is true. All who believe are safe from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we could be gathered together in your house with your people tonight and to hear your word being preached. I just pray you'd fill Pastor Shelley with your Holy Spirit right now, that we can all be edified and strengthened by your word. And Lord, we love you, and we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, next song is song number 21, Right Next Door. What a wonderful Savior.
Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. I praise him for the cleansing blood. What a wonderful Savior that reconciled my soul to God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He cleansed my heart from all its sin. What a wonderful Savior. And now he reigns and rules therein. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He gives me overcoming power. What a wonderful Savior. And triumph in each cleansing trial. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. To him I've given all my heart. What a wonderful Savior. The world shall never share a part. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. Savior is Jesus my Lord.
Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. I'm going to go through some of the announcements that we had for the week. We have the service times, and we also have the regional swing times listed there. All of those times are still in effect. On the right-hand side, we had some salvations, 13 so far for July. And I'm going to go ahead and get a count for the last few days. Was there anything to report for Monday? One for Monday? All right. Keep the great work on soul winning. What about Tuesday? Three, all right. And then is that eight? All right. So 11 for Tuesday. What about... We had one, I think, for our group. Was there anything else on Wednesday? Was there anything else to report for today? All right. Keep up the good work on soul winning. And then also, please still be in prayer for all of our expecting ladies. The list just keeps getting longer. So God's obviously blessing. And please be in prayer for every single one of these ladies. Obviously, pregnancy is very difficult. On the next line, we have the Psalms 138. We're on week eight. So, but as you probably expected, there will be a grace week. So, you still will have about 1 week to get this thing memorized and quoted to a non-family member who has already completed this one. Who said, you know what, I already got 138, great. Who says they're going to get it done? They haven't, but they think they're going to get it done. All right, keep up the great work. And also, if you have any extra prayer requests throughout the week, you can send those in. On the back, we have a list here of several items that we're praying for as a family, a church family. We have the Urbanics. You know, we'll still be praying for them and RG. Also, for the Proctors and her brother Richard, if you'd still be in prayer for them. Also, the Scott family, if you'd be in prayer for health. We have a lot of health prayer requests there. Lucy and her family, the Garcias, also the Hinckleys and Jeff Goodwin. So a lot of people just have some health issues right now. If we just be in prayer for all of them, we'll just say a quick prayer for everyone mentioned. Thank you, Father, for this church. Thank you for those that are expecting. What a blessing. I pray that you just bless their pregnancies and that you would just help them to have strength when they conceive. I pray that you would just also bless those that have other issues that you know about, and that you just help everyone that has any health issues. You just give them a speedy recovery and that they'd be able to come back to the house of the Lord and to worship and serve you. And we just thank you for so much for our church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Also, August 2nd, we're going to have a special guest preacher, Pastor Bruce Mejia. He's going to be coming all the way from California. And so make sure to please be here for both services. He's going to be preaching both services for us. And it's a great blessing to have him come out here. I'm going to be at Pure Words that weekend as they have their second year anniversary. Also, the CCL class that's happening on July 25th, the instructor has basically made it work to where anybody that wants to complete the course that day for the shooting can. So if everybody just wants to go ahead and complete the shooting, we have room for all 25 participants. If you still say, I would like to just do it on August 1st, that is an option. But basically what I'd have you do, anybody that registered for the 1st, if they want to switch to the 25th, they just send me another email, and I'll probably just even ask for that again. But if we want to, we can just try to complete it all on the 25th. Also, I believe I may have had either one or two cancellations. So if anybody has not signed up, but they still want to get in, email me and we'll try to see if we can get that person plugged. No promises, okay? But I'm just saying, if there's somebody that wants to get in on the class, I think there may still be a spot or two because it's already paid for. So we might as well use all 25 spots. So if you haven't signed up or you canceled or something and you can work out to get back in there, please just send me an email and say, you know, is there grace? You know, Pastor Shelley, is there any grace? Can I still get in through the door? Is the door been shut or is it still open? And we'll basically try to get you in there. Also, there's a baby shower on August 15th in honor of Ben and Alicia Naeem. I think it's John the Baptist. For Ben the Baptist, that was an inside joke, all right? But they're registered on Amazon, so if you'd like to get them a gift, they're having a baby boy. Congratulations to them. Also, I was in Oklahoma City this past Sunday, and everything went really great. We had over 50 people on Sunday morning service and pretty much the same evening. We had two baptisms in the evening service, And so they're doing really great. Their soul winning numbers have been really strong the last several weeks. And last week we had like eight cops called us, or I don't know, five cops. We had a lot of cops called us, so it kind of prohibited a lot of our soul winning. But, you know, most of the weeks they're getting a lot of people saved, so still be in prayer for them up there in Oklahoma City. And it's a great church, a lot of great people up there. And so really exciting to go up there and visit them. Everything else is going really well. I'll be at the Red Hot Preaching Conference tomorrow. And just for anybody's, you know, that may want to know, the conference is still going on strong. Pastor Jimenez has checked with the local government and all that stuff. And, you know, we're still going strong. So, you know, I'm going to be there. And I'm really excited to hear some really good preaching. I'm sure there's going to be some really good sermons this year. And so even if you can't go physically, just try to tune in somewhere online. I don't know where to find it exactly, but you could probably find it. If there's a will, there's a way, all right? I think there's a Red Hot Preaching Conference YouTube channel that you can subscribe to. Who knows how long that'll be up, but you can definitely check it from there. And I just encourage you, it's a great conference. I really feel honored to get the privilege to go out there. But I'll still be back here by Sunday. I'll be preaching both services, Sunday morning and Sunday evening. So with that, let's go to our next song. Brother Duncan, you lead us.
Next song, that'll be song number 22. If you'll take out your red hymnal there again. Are You Washed in the Blood? Again, that's song number 22, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2.
Judges 2, the Bible reads, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Judges chapter 2. I pray now that you would fill Pastor Shelley with your spirit, help him to preach his sermon boldly, Lord. Also, I pray that you would help us to listen and learn. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. So we're in Judges chapter number 2. Last week we were in Judges chapter number 1, and we're kind of going through this transitionary book of the children of Israel. They're inheriting the promised land, but in chapter number 1 we learned that they made a fatal mistake in the fact that they were not willing to drive out the enemies. They were not willing to drive out the inhabitants of the land, and therefore we're going to continue with that exact same thought. It says here in verse number 1, and the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear in your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. Now, this is a very interesting section of Judges chapter number 2. We see a lot of different things and elements being brought up, but who does it address? Who is the person in which is talking to us in Judges chapter 2, verse 1? It says the angel of the Lord. Now, the word angel could simply mean messenger. So it could just be the messenger of the Lord. Angel, messenger can be used interchangeably. So this is someone who God has decided to come and give them and deliver them a message. At first look, you would think an angel always means what we think of as an angelic being. You would try to think of this as something that has wings and flying or something like that. But an angel of the Lord in this context could mean that, but it could also mean something else. It could just mean someone delivering a message from the Lord. So that could be a multiplicity of different people. Now, what's interesting is who this is actually referring to, because notice when it talks about the angel of the Lord, what does he say in verse number 1? He says, and I said. He said, I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you in the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. So who said those things? The angel of the Lord said, I'm the one that made you go up out of Egypt. I'm the one who swear unto your fathers. I'm the one who will never break. Notice this, my covenant with you. Now, when did an angelic being ever make a covenant with the children of Israel? He never did. So who is it that this is, who made a covenant though? God did. Now, keep your finger here and go to Exodus chapter 23 for a moment. Exodus chapter number 23. And very clearly it said in verse number 2, but ye have not obeyed my voice. So the angel is saying, I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one that made a covenant with you, and you didn't obey my voice. Now, this is very interesting because we already had this referenced in the book of Exodus. Now, Exodus chapter 23 is right after the Ten Commandments. We have Exodus chapter 20, which is well known for the Ten Commandments. It's when Moses went up on the mount and God literally gave him the Ten Commandments written with his own finger. God wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger and was giving it to Moses, and he gave Moses other instructions. And in Exodus chapter 23, this is coming right after that, it says in verse 20, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. So notice in verse 20, when God was talking to Moses before they've ever entered in the promised land, before Joshua, he said, hey, I'm going to give you an angel, and this angel is going to be the one that what? He's the one that's going to take you into the promised land. Look at verse 21. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Now notice this, the angel, he's not going to pardon their transgressions. What angel has the power and the ability to forgive sin? When we talk about an angelic being, none of them. So he must be talking about someone else, but let's read a little bit more. Let's get some more context. It's very interesting. It says in verse 22, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto the adversaries, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. So notice God is giving them this proclamation. God is saying, I'm going to deliver you in there through my angel, and you need to obey his voice. And if you obey his voice, he'll drive out all the inhabitants, and then God will bless you. Then we see in Judges chapter number 2, we see that angel coming unto the children of Israel and saying, you guys didn't obey my voice. You guys didn't do what I said. Now, to some people, this would seem like a paradox, but to Bible-believing Christians, it's not. We understand this through the New Testament called the Trinity. Because the angel of the Lord is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to lead them into the promised land. He was that angel that they were supposed to obey. Notice his voice. And guess who leads them into the promised land? Jesus does, okay? Now, Jesus, which is interesting in the New Testament, that name means Joshua in the Old Testament. So Joshua, if you're going to say it in the New Testament, it says Jesus. Now, that's not a coincidence. We see that what Moses couldn't do is lead you into the promised land. Why? Because the law can't get you into the promised land. You need a Savior. You need to deliver Jesus Christ. He's the one that takes you into the promised land. But this wasn't just a figure. It was literally the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that was there with them in the wilderness. It was Jesus Christ that led them into the promised land. And it was Jesus Christ's voice that they did not hearken to in the book of Judges chapter number 1. So notice what Jesus, how he feels about it. He's not going to deliver them anymore, right? God's going to end up being an enemy unto them. Go if you would to Joshua. Keep your finger here and go to Joshua chapter 24 for a moment. Go to Joshua chapter number 24. So this is where we kind of ended on Joshua 24. And a little bit overlaps in the book of Judges. There's a little bit of overlap from the end of Joshua to Judges. They kind of overlap in the timeline and kind of the information that they give. But it says in Joshua 24, look at verse 24. And it says, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So notice whose voice they're supposed to obey. God. Because that's the only voice you're ever supposed to obey. So if he's saying, also you need to obey my angel, you know what that means? That angel is God. That's because Jesus Christ is God. He's God manifest in the flesh. He's always with God, and he always was God. He is God, and that's the only voice that you're supposed to hearken unto. But even in the Old Testament, you still have clear delineations between God and the angel, which is God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is his messenger, which is his anointed one, the one he selected. Now go back to Exodus and look at chapter 20. Because didn't it say that the angel is going to deliver them out of Egypt, and he's the one that delivered them out of bondage? The angel's the one that said that. Well, look at Exodus 20, and now who's speaking? It's God the Father, right? It says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. So notice, who's the one that delivered them out of Egypt? God did. Who also? The angel of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ. Because they work in tandem. They work one with another, but they're both God. So we have none other than the angel of the Lord is God in the flesh or Jesus Christ, he's coming there and he's preaching to them. Now, obviously, it's different than the exact incarnation, okay? But Jesus Christ appears in bodily form multiple times in the Old Testament. They see him because Jesus Christ is the image of God. He's what you actually can see. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So anytime someone saw God, it was always Jesus that they're seeing. Okay? Otherwise, you can't see him. The only exception would be the fact that Moses gets to see the back parts of God the Father. But nobody's seen the face of God except for through the Lord Jesus Christ. So whenever they're seeing someone in the face and it's like, this is Jesus, I mean, or this is God, it must be Jesus that they actually saw. Now, go, if you would, back to Judges for a moment. Go back to Judges chapter number 2. So we have a few aspects in verses 1 through 4. First of all, we have a picture of the Trinity. We have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ before he became, you know, born in Mary's womb and manifested himself to the whole world. Because in a lot of these other examples, it's not a manifestation to the world, is it? He wasn't manifest in the flesh in the sense that everyone saw him, okay? They all saw him when he was, you know, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, right? It wasn't just a select group of people. But in the Old Testament, it's usually just to his servants, to his prophets, to Moses, or, you know, to Joshua, or we see other Manoah, or we see here to the children of Israel. But we have here also another picture of the fact that they did not obey Jesus Christ. Notice they didn't obey God. And that's a problem. There's consequences when you don't obey the voice of God. There's consequences when you don't obey his instructions. But we also see another thing, that there was going to be deliverance through Jesus Christ if they obeyed him, if they trusted him. And obviously Jesus Christ, our deliverer, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the sermon, but he's not just going to save you from your sins, he's also going to save you in everyday life circumstances. He's also going to be there to drive out inhabitants. He's always going to be there to protect you and guide you and to lead you in your daily life. But in order to have that provision, in order to have that protection, you have to obey him. You have to actually follow his commandments. Otherwise, he's not going to. And then you're going to have all these enemies that are what in verse 3? Thorns in your sides. And notice their false religion is going to be a snare unto you. And it said in verse number 4, what happens? The people lifted up their voice and wept. Now let's read verse 5. It says, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there in the Lord. Now, let's think about the other aspect of deliverance. He delivers us in a daily aspect, but what about just salvation too? Does he deliver us for salvation? Yes. Now, what does Bochim mean? If you actually look it up, it means weeping or weepers. So it makes sense because in verse 4, he says they wept, and then they what? They called the place Bochim, which would be a place of weeping, okay? Now go to Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. Now, if Jesus Christ just showed up and looked you in the face and said, I'm never going to deliver you, that's a problem. Why? Well, let's read Matthew chapter number 8 and look at verse number 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So notice, when Jesus won't deliver you, the only alternative is hell. And that hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's no rest day nor night. It's outer darkness as the Bible describes it. You will be constantly in the flames of fire. The Bible says the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. No one wants that. You either have Jesus, your deliverer, and it's all great, or it's the worst punishment for all of eternity. And Jesus Christ said, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The guy that lift up his eyes in hell, he asked for just a tip, just a little drop of water to come on the tip of his tongue. None. No relief, no rest, no sleep. Just constant.